Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
And now, Oklahoma City Sports Radio gets serious with the dominant duo, Jim Traeger and Al Eschbach. It's Total Dominance on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal.
And we're back at the Lucky Star Casino in Concho, just north of El Reno on Highway 81. And I'm joined now by the legend of radio, King of the Midgets, and the world champion at Freestyle. He is also the newest member of the Journalism Hall of Fame in the state of Oklahoma, Mr. Al Eschbach. And this show's known as the Dominant
Duo.
How you doing today, Al?
How are you, sir? Tell me about your trip to Denver.
I'm tired.
Yeah, your flight was missed?
They just canceled it. They just canceled the flight. Do they ever think that maybe people have to get home for something?
Which one? Going or coming?
Coming back today. I was supposed to get in at like 11:15. I got in at 1:25. I made it here. I got my car and made it here by 2:12. That is some serious driving. I just thought I'd let you know.
That is very serious driving, my man.
It does help that they have that really nice turnpike. The turnpike goes all the way into Airport Road now. So that's that helps a lot. Yeah, Airport Road turns into the turnpike. Tony, you been out there by any chance? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's nice. So when you come out of the airport, you go left, and then instead of having to go across on like Council or something, you just keep on going straight, and it rolls all the way around to I-40.
There is a good feeling with a lot of the turnpikes in Oklahoma now that, like, when you get to the end of it, you're dumped out to a spot. You're like, wow, this really took me somewhere. It actually cut some time out.
Yeah, no, the turnpike is really cool, especially where I live up there. You can go just about anywhere. And then that new turnpike between I-40 and the turnpike, what's that, the kick?
Out toward, as you go out toward in Shawnee.
Yeah, it's 80 miles an hour. Can't beat that. Nothing wrong with 80 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's flying, my man. So yeah, how are the Eagles?
Al, I think it's the best concert I've ever been to.
Without Glenn Frey?
First of all, with all due respect, and I love Glenn Frey, I think Vince Gill is just as good.
Really?
I know. And remember, Glenn Frey's son is in it too, and he sings a couple of Glenn Frey songs. And he sounds just
That's really cool.
He's 24 years old, and it's incredible. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being 24 years old and standing next to Joe Walsh every night in a concert?
That is beautiful. They are. I love the Eagles.
I'll just tell you, Al, that you know it was called the Hotel California.
Yeah, I knew that. So they play all the songs in that album, right?
Well, let me tell you how it started. You're gonna love this, okay? So they have this, it's all dark, and they got this old man come walking out, and he walks across the stage, and he goes over, and there's a record player there, an old record player. And he reaches down, and he picks up the Hotel California album, you know, the vinyl. And
right.
he takes the record out, shows it to everybody. He puts it on the record player. He takes the needle and puts the needle on it, and then it makes that noise, you know, that, you know, when the record starts. And then the curtain lifts behind him, and the first song is Hotel California. It was unbelievable. And then they played the whole Hotel California. Oh, it was incredible, dude. Good.
They played
some songs like Pretty Maids All in a Row and Try to Love Again. They're some of the ones that people don't know a lot about. So they finished that, but this was the best part. Listen to this, Tony. You'll love it. So they play the first side, and then this woman comes walking onto the stage, and she's like just this beautiful, like blonde with this black flowing dress on. And she's walking all sexy across the stage. And she walks over, picks the record up, turns it over, puts it back down, and then she puts the needle on it. And it goes, you know, goes like that. And then that's side two. They start side two.
Wow.
And then, listen to this, Al, when they're done with it, Henley comes on and you go, and they're all dressed up too, Al. They all got like really nice clothes on, you know, they all got like black, you know, suits on and everything. And Henley takes the microphone and he goes, that's the end of Hotel California. And he says, we're going to take a break and then we're going to play everything we've ever done. I mean, and it was, Al, they played for 3 hours.
That is amazing. Oh, my goodness.
And listen, I'll count them down. So after that, they played, I think they played 25 songs. Listen to this, Al. Seven Bridges Road, Take It Easy, One of These Nights, Take It to the Limit, Lion Eyes, Witchy Woman. Then Joe Walsh played In the City, I Can't Tell You Why, Peaceful, Easy Feeling, Tequila Sunrise, Those Shoes, which I love, Joe Walsh. Life's Been Good to Me, that's his other one, another one. Already Gone, I Know What You're Doing, Heartache Tonight. And then their encore was Rocky Mountain Way by Joe Walsh. And then Desperado, the very last song.
Wow.
That's Al, I'm telling you, you would have gone crazy.
That's big time.
I'd never seen like it, man. Ugh.
They got such a great sound. I love the Eagles.
I'm telling you, if it wasn't the best, it's right up there with one of the best concerts I've ever been to. And
but
Joe
they didn't
Walsh,
play one of my favorite songs, New Kid in Town.
No, they did play New Kid in Town. Because remember, New Kid in Town was on Hotel California. I didn't.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah. Okay. I didn't. Matter of fact, I will. I'll read that to you too, just for people that don't know. Here's Hotel California. This is how it goes. It goes Hotel California, New Kid in Town, which, by the way, Vince Gill sung that, and he was really good.
Yeah, then because that was a Glenn Frey song.
That's right. That's exactly right. Life in the Fast Lane. And then Wasted Time, that's another tremendous song. And then on the second side, it's a reprise of Wasted Time. And then they have Victim of Love, Pretty Maids All in a Row,
song.
Try to Love Again, and then Last Resort. That's the whole album. Yeah.
Wow.
Figured it out. I was looking at, because Doc Pascal texted me all of those songs, so he wrote them all down and who sang them. The only song that they had a hit with that they didn't play... Well, they didn't play the one where that one guy sings with the long hair. Love Will Keep Us Alive. You know that one? That's
okay.
A great song.
Yeah.
He sings that.
Yeah.
But the one song they did not sing was After the Thrill Is Gone, which, I mean, is a tremendous song, too. So
they are so good.
You'd have lost your goodness. Mind, Al.
I bet. I mean...
I got
to see them, and I got to see McCartney.
Yeah. Tony, do you like the Eagles, Tony?
No, I do not.
That is incredible. Why don't you like the Eagles?
I don't know.
They got
know,
too
man.
Much of a...
Maybe what? The mass appeal. I'm not one of those people that would gravitate towards judging a band because of mass appeal, but I don't know, Jim. There's just something. I can't get into it.
You don't like Hotel California?
No.
You like Joe Walsh?
Maybe.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Sorry, man.
That's okay. That's all right. You play some stuff that I can't stand, so you love it, so that's fine. We all learn. Everybody likes different things.
And I like a lot of things, but just the Eagles are not one of them.
Well, you would have loved it, Al. If you get a chance to watch them. But like I said, Joe Walsh.
That's
Al, Joe Walsh,
for them playing 3 hours. That's
73 that. Years old, Joe Walsh.
How old is Henley?
Oh, I think I look at 67, maybe 60. I'll look real quick, but maybe Tony can look it up how old Don Henley is. But you know, Glenn Frey was, I think, younger. He looked good. He looked better. He got pneumonia. But I was going to say, Doc Pascal's wife Renee, she kept saying to Julie, "Gosh, I just think Joe Walsh is going to drop dead." And I said to her, "I said they've been saying that for 20 years about the guy."
Well, that's the same with Neil Young and Mick Jagger and Keith Richards.
I know. I don't know how they're all
and they're,
still alive.
And they're older than he is.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Joe Walsh is 73.
Right. No, I said that. How old is Henley? By the way, Henley looked good, man. He looked like he had been working out. And Al, he hit every single note. He sounded like he was 30 years old.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
He's 74.
Wow. Oh, my gosh, he's 74? Well, if you put Joe Walsh next to Henley, you would think that Joe Walsh could be his father. That's how different they look. But it was, it was really, really cool.
I think I told you guys this at one point. Joe Walsh is Ringo's brother-in-law. Did you know that?
So who married who?
I think they're sisters. I just seen them together.
Related to Barbara Bach, Ringo's wife?
Yes.
Is that okay. Who it is? Okay. Interesting.
Is Ringo
really
still married to Barbara Bach?
Been married to her for a long time, right?
Ringo's
he's not
alive anymore, is he?
Yeah, he is. He looks great. He's like 80 years old. He looks great.
I haven't seen him in a long time. Long time.
Since 1981?
Wow. That's unbelievable. 40 years.
That's really cool. So, Al, I got an announcement for our pregame tomorrow. I think I'd mentioned it to you, but I've solidified it, so I wanted to announce it with you on the air, okay?
Okay.
Tomorrow, about 9:45, we are going to have on the governors of the two states that are going against each other. Governor Ricketts from Nebraska and Governor Stitt from Oklahoma. They're just going to come by for a few minutes and see us down there. So people down there, if you're Nebraska, by the way, Al, my plane coming home loaded with Nebraska fans.
Yeah, I heard you talk about that.
And I was listening to them talk. They all know they stink. But they're ready to go. They're excited to be here. They do have a great fan base, don't they, Al?
They have a tremendous fan base. It's one of the best in college football. It's really, and Jack was right. They're just nice people. They're nice when they win. They're nice when they lose. They're just really, really good fans. They deserve better than what they got.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of an interesting point. What they're going to do with Frost, you know, and if they get rid of Frost, where are they going to go next?
Well, Barry Trevor and I were talking. What about Lane Kiffin?
I don't like Lane Kiffin, but he's obviously shown he can coach, right?
Well, his dad was a big-time defensive coach at Nebraska.
Okay. So, Monty Kiffin, how many places did he coach? NFL, everywhere, huh?
Well, he was at Nebraska a long time, and then did he go to... Did he go into Alabama? Hey, Tony, look up Monty Kiffin and see where he went after he left Nebraska.
So was he with? He was there under Osborne.
Yeah, he was there under Osborne. I think maybe Osborne and Devaney.
Well, you know what? That's crazy because I had no idea that he was there. I didn't know that.
66 to 72 as a graduate assistant defensive coordinator. 73 to 76. Is that out?
Nebraska?
Yeah, then where did he go? Then where did he go?
Arkansas, 77 to 78.
Then? Keep going. Then 70, keep going.
Yeah, 79 is an assistant head coach there at Arkansas, North Carolina State, 80 to 82. Green Bay, the Packers in 83.
Buffalo went there Bills. For a while.
My gosh, yeah. The NFL, just team after team.
Yeah, I know. He was everywhere.
He went to Raiders, wasn't he?
Gosh.
Let's see, Vikings, Jets. Saints, Buccaneers.
Oh, my God. What do you call it? Every team in the NFL?
Right. Cowboys, Jaguars.
Then he went back to college, right? With his son.
USC.
US. That's when he was with his son. Remember right now?
Yeah. He's with Lane. Exactly right.
Florida Atlantic and Ole Miss.
The Florida Atlantic. So he's with
How
is
old
he
is
with
he
now?
Is he 80s?
Yeah, he's 81. 81.
Okay.
Is he coaching at Mississippi right now?
He's a player personnel analyst in that position.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Well, maybe that you could take a chance at, you know, with somebody like that. Maybe that would work.
Yeah, well, they got to do something maybe a little bit different than they've been doing. I know that.
That's exactly right.
I think that they really messed up this offseason. I think they should have gotten rid of him and brought Bielema in.
Yeah, well, you and I talk about that all the time. It's like Clay Helton. They wait and then you fire him at the two games. I mean, that's insane.
Yeah, I think. Don't you think Nebraska is probably too proud of a program to fire somebody in the middle of the season, especially somebody that was that good of a player?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Somebody that played with them and everything. Played for them, was a star.
And for people, for the youngsters out there that don't know, Scott Frost is. Well, he's a top 10 player of all time there, is he not?
No.
He's not top 10?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
He was good, though. They won a national championship with him.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was
Tommy Frazier was really, really good.
Tommy Frazier was unbelievable, yeah.
They had a quarterback. They had Taggy. They had Turner Gill. Tommy Frazier, now they got Martinez. Are you kidding me?
Now, Frazier's the best, right, of all time there?
Frazier's the best, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
All right, you want to play some music?
Play music.
All right, time for an OG&E break. Make your bill more manageable with OG&E's average monthly billing. Visit OG&E.com. We're at the Lucky Star Casino and Concho. Come on out. Got all the games you want. They give away money every single Saturday, so you can earn entries for that. Great bar, restaurant. Come on out and see us. Al's going to be here till 8. I'll be here till 6. Coming up, music on The Leader in Sports. This show's known as the Dominant
Duo.
Oklahoma sports leader. We are the Animal.
Man, sports animal, the best damn radio station in the world, man.
98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal. Now, Barry Trammell joins Al Eschbach and Jim Traver. This is Total Dominance. 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal.
Back at the Lucky Star Casino, joined by Mr. Al Eschbach and Mr. Barry Trammell, and this show's known as a Total
Dominance
Hour.
Tram, how you doing? How's Boise?
It's great. It's great. I'm actually up in the mountains north of Boise right today. We went up to the resort town of McCall, really cool, and working our way back home to Boise. So
now you say resort town. Like, I mean, I've never even heard of the place. Are there people dying to go there?
I don't know about the death part, but, I mean, it's a lot of people there today, and it's not even the peak. I mean, winter and summer is their big seasons.
So it's a big ski place.
Do all the outdoor stuff.
Okay.
So... yeah, it's near a ski place, and then it's right on a big lake with all kinds of homes and condos and stuff on the shore of the lake. So,
now I was in Denver yesterday, and I got there, and the weather was like just like about 90 degrees, right? You know, and then I woke up this morning, and a cold front had come through, 46 degrees when I woke up this morning and went to it was. So, what's it like up there?
Well, in Boise, it's the high has been about 80. And it's in the 50s in the morning when you wake up. It's cooler than that up in McCall. It's about 72 in McCall today, the high. Yesterday, the high in McCall was 62, I think. So,
wow.
But Boise's fairly warm. It hadn't really cooled way down in Boise yet, but it will.
What's it going to be tomorrow night?
I think it's high tomorrow. It's in the 70s, so I think it'll be in the 60s probably at kickoff, if I was guessing.
Two questions. Any good food that you found? And secondly, have you talked to and or done any stories about them being probably really upset about not getting into the Big 12?
Yes. I interviewed the athletic director Tuesday night, Jeremiah Dickey. My column, I think, ran in the Oklahoman Today, posted
today. It did.
Yesterday.
I'll have to read it tonight. I'm sorry, Tram. I was on planes and everything this morning, so I didn't read it. I'm sorry.
But they're not. If they're upset, they don't show it or they don't say it. They're very magnanimous. Say, hey, we like the Big 12. Maybe we'd love to be in. Maybe we'll get in next time. We're just going to control what we can control, that kind of thing.
What's the negative against them, Trim?
I think it's mostly the academic side. The geography, too, but the academic side. I talked to Al yesterday about this. You know, they were a junior college until 1968. It takes a long time to build up an academic reputation. So they're, you know, on those rankings that I don't know if if they mean anything to anybody outside the academic world, but they're pretty far down. They're in the 300s on the academic ranking. There's only two Big 12 schools in the 200s, Tech and West Virginia, and both are, you know, better than 250. So I think that's what it is. The geography is not great, but you got, once you get Brigham Young, it's only 400 more miles to Boise. So I think that's it. And they're making progress on the academics, but it's just going to take a while.
I told Barry yesterday, Jim, CBS reported that they could be bound to the American Athletic.
That would be a great choice. That would be a great choice.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'd do that. I might stay where I'm at.
Why?
Because
American,
that's what TCU did.
Well,
right?
The American, without those three, there's not much going on in the American that excites me.
They were targeting them, UAB, and somebody else, they said.
Utah State, maybe?
See, I'd rather stay with Fresno. I'd rather stay with Fresno and San Diego State and Air Force, schools like that.
Yeah.
Getting in a league with East Carolina and Temple, that doesn't do much for me.
Well, I got to tell you something. The Big 12, a decent amount of those schools nobody wants because of the academics, and then Boise's not good enough to get into the Big 12, so obviously Boise's got a lot of work to do academically.
Yeah, they do. And it's all time, I say. I mean, it's just time. I can't remember if I told Al this yesterday. You know, until recently, it wasn't that they were ranked low by U.S. News and World Report. They weren't ranked at all. They were considered a regional university.
Right.
Sort of the way we can look at UCO and Southwestern and East Central and those schools. But, you know, Boise's got 26,000 students now, and it's got the same enrollment as Idaho and Idaho State combined.
It's got to get more than that, though, if they want to keep rolling. By the way, I guess four of these schools is who they want out: Boise, Colorado State, San Diego State, Air Force, UAB.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Absolutely.
And that would obliterate that conference out there, right, Tram?
It would hurt it bad. I don't know, though. Shoot. Like I said, if I was the Mountain West people, I'd stick together rather than join the American.
What's the TV contract? What's the money difference?
I mean, it has been better in the American, but I don't know if that will continue to be so.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. We'll come back, talk some more. It's OG&E Break. Make your bill more manageable with OG&E's average monthly billing. Visit OG&E.com. We're at the Lucky Star Casino. Al's here. He'll take over next. Barry Trammell is in beautiful Boise, Idaho. And this show is known worldwide as The Total
Dominance
Hour.
WWLS-FM, The Village, Oklahoma City, KYAL, Sepulpa, KYAL-FM, Tulsa, KSIW, Woodward, KADS, Elk City, KBGN, Pawhuska, KVSO, Ardmore, WKY, Oklahoma City. And now, more Total Dominance.
Total Dominance.
On 98.1 FM, WWLS, The Sports Animal.
And we're back here at the Lucky Star, right here in concert. We're going to be telling you all about it. Back with a show known in Pocatello as a Toto
Dominance
Hour.
By the way, I had the good fortune to have Lucius Selman on last night. And by the way, he's a guy, a player we don't talking about. You know, he finished second in the Outland. He finished seventh in the Heisman. Unfortunately, anyway,
he's not the best player in his own family. That just hurts him.
I know. I know, right?
Yeah, you know, I had somebody, I don't know, 10 years ago call me and say, why don't you guys talk enough about Lucius Selman? I said, well, first of all, I wasn't around back then. But secondly, he's not the best player in his own family, right, Tram?
Well, he might be third in his own bedroom, boyhood bedroom. He might have ranked three in his own boyhood bedroom. That's his problem.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But he told the story that he... After the game, after they lost, they're all in the locker room. Everybody's crying, but he knew that they got a message. Mom got a message that she was sending down Thanksgiving food to him. So it was Thanksgiving Day, and so he was at least excited about doing that after the game. He goes to the door, and Leroy and Dewey say, "Well, we got to confess, we were hungry. We ate your meal on the way down to the game."
Oh my! I bet you it was tough feeding those three dudes.
I tell you what, it this game. I wonder how many games in past 50 years later are celebrated like this, as far as a lot of players and coaches and Osborne coming back, and I don't know. Any of you guys have an idea?
Tram with us?
Did we lose Barry?
Might have lost. We'll try to get him back.
Get him back.
He's up there in the mountains. I doubt Al there is anything like it.
I doubt there is either.
I had Jake Trotter on today. You know, he wrote an unbelievable article about this.
Yeah,
have you read it?
For ESPN, absolutely.
And he really brought up a point. He said this game had proved to OU that they could play with anybody. And I think what the next 5 years or something, they went like 43-2-1 or something now. Tram, you back
with
us?
Yeah.
I was talking about your boy Blue Blood. He was on earlier today with me and basically said that in his interviews and stuff, that this game kind of catapulted OU into the fact that they could play with anybody in the next 4 years or 5 years. They're like 43-2-1 or something like that.
We lose Barry again?
Yeah, we're struggling, guys, with this connection there in the mountains.
Okay, Al, comment on that, Al.
Well, although I thought the USC game that year catapulted OU. They just beat down a tremendous USC team in 71. And I think what catapulted them was in 1970 before the Texas game. They went to the Wishbone. And they had some success after that. And then, we're going to be airing the Barry Switzer interview next hour that I talked to Barry earlier this week. And he knew going into the season that they were going to be something special. And going into the game, he thought OU was the better team.
But let me ask you this. Coming out of the game, did you think OU was the better team?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, they yardage wise, statistics wise,
So it was the punt return by Johnny Rogers.
Well, and they scored with like 36 left, Jim, and then OU gets the ball on the first play from scrimmage. Jack Milton overthrows a wide open John Harrison by about a yard, and OU would have won the game.
Yeah.
They were both great teams. Yeah, you play 10 times, it's probably 5-5, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then he also brought up that story about how Greg Pruitt and Johnny Rogers became really good friends, and he wanted to stop him because I guess he was talking smack, and he went out of his lane and almost got him right on that punt return, and he spun around and then went for a touchdown.
Well,
that's crazy, it's
also interesting. In 1972, I'm interviewing Greg Pruitt, and this is before they play Penn State in the Sugar Bowl game. And Greg Pruitt's going, "I should have won the Heisman. I'm better than Johnny Rogers."
Did he really?
Yep. So after Johnny won the Heisman, they weren't, but they did become friends again, good friends. But
Pruitt had a better career after that.
No doubt appropriate. No doubt he had a better career. He was big time with the Cleveland Browns.
I wonder if Pruitt tackles him on that punt return. Maybe he does win the Heisman.
You're right.
Because even though that was early in the game, I mean, if he doesn't score, who knows what happens, right?
Well, there was the next year Rogers won the Heisman in 72.
Well, but that got his name, right? Johnny Rogers at that point got
his name. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, in 71, Pat Sullivan from Auburn won the Heisman.
That's right. Pat Sullivan, from Auburn.
So, it's interesting that this game, Osborne's coming in, Johnny Rogers. I don't know if Greg Pruitt's coming in, which is kind of crazy.
And he lives in Cleveland, Jake Trotter.
He lives in Cleveland, yeah. He stayed up there. So, gosh, and Jim, and you knew Jack Mojo. What a prince he was, wasn't he?
Oh, he was just the best, yeah. Just taken way too early. He was just a...
He was on with us.
Yes, he was. I remember times where the three of us would be sitting in the studio together. He was
such a gentleman, and what a great wishbone quarterback. I mean, just unbelievable.
I wish I could have seen him play. I saw some tape, but you know how the tape was. It really wasn't.
Yeah, if you ever get time, go to YouTube and watch the 71 game. It's an amazing game. Really. Yeah. Amazing, and but yeah, it's the Nebraska people coming down, and they got to hire a good coach. Jim, this got to be a home run hire. If they don't make a great hire now, they're never going to get back to where they were. That's for sure. But to get back when they're playing for Big Ten titles, they got to get back, right?
Yeah. By the way, I guess my friend Doug Wagner said that Switzer said that Pruitt is coming to the game.
Okay. Yeah, Sunday night when I was with Barry, he didn't know.
Oh, okay. Well, that'll be that'd be cool. If any of those dudes want to come by and say hi to us, tell them to come by. We'll have a big crowd down there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, they might be hungover tomorrow.
Well, that's true. And listen, if you're just tuning in too, if you're one of the Nebraska fans that have gotten into town, we will be doing our pre and post game show right there in front of O'Connell's on Campus Corner. Al and I will start at 8 o'clock in the morning. We'll be getting after it, and right after the game, we'll be on again. And then, of course, as I always like to say, we're the only station in the entire market that does both OU and OSU. And later on in the nighttime, after you and I are over with the post game. Gideon and Rashawn will be getting you ready for the Boise State game.
But by the way, I like your T&W tire lock of the week. I'm with you 100%. I don't understand how Miami's favoring that game.
I don't understand how Miami's in the top 25.
Yeah. What have they done this year?
Nothing. I mean, they've done nothing.
They get beat in the first game by Alabama. They got crushed, yeah. And then they barely beat Appalachian State.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't explain it. How is Oklahoma State in the top 25? I guess
maybe because
there's just nobody to put in there, I guess. I don't know. We'll see. If OSU wins tomorrow night, then they deserve to be the top 25 team.
That's right. And they'll get into the AP top 25, too, if they win.
That's right, yeah. But, yeah, no, Miami, you know how I feel about their coach, and I just, I don't know. I like your quarterback. I mean, I loved him when he was at Houston. I do think that he's a little bit slower than he used to be with his injuries, you know?
Right.
So.
Florida, Alabama?
I just don't know how Florida can, I don't know how Florida can
either.
Stay with
them. I don't either.
I don't.
But, you know, Mullen's a good coach.
No, he is. You're right. You know, they got a backup quarterback down there, Al, who last week had three series, and he scored touchdowns all three series, but he hurt his ankle, and I don't know if he's going to play, but their starting quarterback is just not the answer. And I don't think Alabama's defense is great. I think it's good. But
they got some pretty good coaches in that conference, don't they?
Oh, yeah. They got great coaches.
I mean, especially with the addition of Kiffin and Leach to the Mississippi schools, Mullen's really good. You got Jimbo Fisher over at A&M.
Pittman's doing a nice start. Nice start for him.
Yeah.
Obviously, Saban's the best of all time. We'll see about all.
Mullen's really good. Mark Stoops of Kentucky might be one of the best that school's
really
ever had.
Job. Yeah. We'll see about
Kirby Smart over Georgia.
Kirby Smart's doing a good job. I was going to say at Auburn, we'll see about Harsin. I don't know. It seems like that's not a very good fit, but I'm sick and tired of saying that kind of thing because I'm wrong.
And LSU, I'm not sure about Ogeron.
No, I think he's gone. They drop a 7-5 or something. I think they're going to get rid of him.
What's the spread on Tulane and Ole Miss?
I don't know. I'll have to look it up here real quick. By the way, you know, I know everybody loves the guy, but what about Beamer at South Carolina? That's going to be a tough little slog for him, isn't it?
That's a tough job. We talked about it. It's a really tough job. Steve Spurrier is the only guy that won decently down there.
It stinks for anybody now that Clemson is so daggone good, too.
Now, Virginia Tech, West Virginia is an interesting game, right?
Yeah, West Virginia is favored by 2.5 in that game. That's a big game for West Virginia because Virginia Tech is 2-0, and they played, you know, obviously they had a good win in the beginning against North Carolina. If West Virginia could win that'd be a really good win for them. Let me look down here. Tulane, let me find it. Tulane in Mississippi. It's a fun game. I might want to watch some of that game. Mississippi State, Memphis. That's a game that Leach needs to win. Tulane. Boy, it must be a late game. Tulane, why can't I find the game? This is ridiculous. There it is. Yeah, 7 o'clock. Mississippi favored by 14. I might take Tulane with 14 points.
Yeah, that seems to be a pretty big spread. I know that kid, that quarterback's really, really good at Ole Miss.
You know, there's a really good game late night out. I mean, you got obviously OSU at 8 o'clock. But late night, I kind of like this UCLA-Fresno game.
Yeah.
UCLA's only favored
by
11.
Yeah, Fresno gave Oregon all they wanted.
That's right, and that's their only loss. UCLA is only favored by 11 now. You'd think that would be over 2 touchdowns.
Well, I can see why. I mean, because they played, and they were pretty impressive. I remember their first game. Wasn't Fresno, they beat somebody?
Yeah, they beat them on a Thursday or a Friday night. By the way, another good late game is Arizona State and BYU. They're both in the top 25.
Hmm.
Look at Fresno here.
Fresno.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Hey, two more teams, BYU and Cincinnati, come to the Big 12. Cincy's in the top 10, BYU's in the top 25.
Yeah, you know, Cincinnati's got some games coming up. We're gonna find out how good Cincinnati is.
Yeah, what's their schedule, Jim?
I'm looking it up right now. You know what? Let me just go to my my trusty magazine real quick if I can find it. Cincinnati's going to be in the smaller conferences. So, Cincinnati. Man, Boise. Boise's going to be a really nice test, I'm telling you. They better be ready to play. They better be ready to play, OSU. I've heard some interesting things this week that I... Here it is, Cincinnati. Yeah, see, look at this, Al. They're at Indiana this weekend, which is a tough game. Then they got a week off. Then they're at Notre Dame.
Oh, wow.
I know. That's tough games there.
Wow, that is interesting.
They win those two games back-to-back there. I mean, that's serious.
Real serious, Jim.
Then they're at Tulane later. Central Florida looks pretty good. They got them. Then the rest of the league, I think, is average.
It'll be interesting. Would an unbeaten Cincinnati team get in over a one-loss team?
Depends on who
from
it is.
From, like, the Pac-12.
Pac-12? Wow. That's a great question. I don't know if it's Oregon and Ohio State has a great year, that'd be tough. But, you know, listen. If Cincinnati wins at Indiana and at Notre Dame, all I've ever asked when I argue with Tram about the little guy is play some people. That's all I ask. If you're going to Notre Dame and you're going to Indiana, who's been pretty good, those are football games.
I totally agree.
But I'm not going to give you a bunch of credit because you're beating people in your own league. I want you to beat some people in bigger leagues.
Now, who's SMU playing tomorrow? They playing somebody decent?
Boy, SMU, you know he's leading the country in touchdowns.
Well, he has 11 touchdown passes, Jim.
I know. It's ridiculous. They're at Louisiana Tech. And then on the next weekend, they're at TCU.
Wow.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, that will be really, really, really interesting.
They're at Cincinnati on November 20th. That's the next to last game.
Well, it, you know what? And we'll talk more about tomorrow, but isn't it amazing that Frost just stayed with Martinez? And with all the people you can get from the portal, that's on him, Jim. That is squarely on him, is it not?
Totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. Yeah, he knew that he had some serious things on the line, and he said, I'm going to go with this guy who's proven he can't play. You should have heard Fat Jack. Did you hear Fat Jack ripping on him today?
Yeah, I heard him tear him apart.
Can't throw the ball.
No.
He cannot throw the ball.
But he can run
it. You're right, but his best plays, yeah. Al, are broken
scramble
plays.
Right, exactly right. I wonder if OU put a spy on him.
Well, they might, yeah. They may have to. By the way, you know, Al, that SMU versus Louisiana Tech game, that's Tanner Mordecai against Austin Kendall.
That's right. Yeah, isn't that something?
Is that unbelievable? It just goes to show, Al, what you and I have talked about for years and years and years. When you're a great football program, people are going to leave because they can't play. And it's happening all over at quarterback at OU, right? And this kid at Penn State, he'll be gone. He'll probably be gone after the season, right?
And remember, it was an unbelievable battle between Austin Kendall and Kyler Murray, and a great battle between Mordecai and Jalen Hurts. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you what, though. Mordecai's doing some nice things. You know, he's doing
absolutely.
He's doing kind of like what Bouchel did down there. You know, Bouchel was a good, nice
that's
player.
That's exactly
Texas,
right. That's exactly right. I want to see what Casey Thompson does tomorrow. That's great that he's getting a start.
I'm really excited for him. I hope that he plays well, man. He seems like a good kid.
Yeah, everybody, I told you, people here around him this week. I was wondering something. No, he said he is a great kid.
When he talks,
I've talked to him a few times. Yeah. Tremendous.
I love listening to him talk, man. He's just a good, humble, good. You know, the family did a great job of raising him. He's a great kid. So I wish him well.
He's Kiowa Indian. Do you guys know that? He's Kiowa.
I knew there was some of it. Yeah, that's what you are, right?
Yeah.
Wow, Tony. You didn't get his athleticism, though, Tony. What's up with that?
No. And he's way younger than I am, too.
So when you were that young, were you that athletic? Is that what you're telling me?
No, Jim, no. I can tell you right now, I wouldn't be going to Texas. I can tell you that, but whatever. It's his life.
I hear you. Well, it was weird when he went there. Remember when he went there, Al? We all thought it was kind of weird.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sometimes you just fall in love with something.
Good for him. Here at the Lucky Star, right here in Concho. Got all things. The jackpots are huge. I mean, absolutely unbelievable out here. Got to take advantage. People win a lot of games. They got all your favorite games out here. The Lucky Star in Concho. Time for an OG&E break. Make your bill more affordable. Minor bill with OG&E's average monthly billing. Visit OG&E.com. 98.1 FM, Ditto Sports. Adam O. Up next, Dean, and more of the total.
Dominance.
Hour.
All things Oklahoma City Thunder basketball.
Swooping back, unguarded, elevates it up. So two-hand over the head slam.
The Oklahoma City Thunder's flagship radio station.
Playing with supreme confidence at home right now.
WWLS, the sports animal. Now, Dean Blevins joins Al Eshbach and Jim Traver. This is Total Dominance on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal.
And back here at the Lucky Star, we are back with the show known in Wildwood as a Total
Dominance
Hour.
Guys, well, hearing that promo all week. And, Dean, you worked over at ABC. We forget the greatness of Keith Jackson as a college football announcer.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. And, Al, I had the chance to work with Keith a handful of games, not in the booth alongside him, but down on the field. And Keith was one of a kind. I mean, he ran the show, literally. you go to production meetings the day before. You go to them during the week, but you especially go to one on Friday. And generally the producers run the show, directors have a ton of input, and the announcers would have just a few things to say, and they would answer questions. But when Keith Jackson was calling a game, he ran everything. I mean, it was like when the band comes out, and here's what we're going to show, here's the video we're going to show, and hey, let's get this soundbite of Switzer over here. It was just amazing, and particularly amazing when you had Keith Jackson calling the play for Oklahoma's Keith Jackson to win back-to-back Nebraska games.
That was crazy, wasn't it? Keith Jackson calling Keith Jackson.
What a great voice, guys, huh?
Yeah, outstanding. Hey, guys, I've told you that I'm sure you're doing the same thing. I've had a chance to watch all of these specials, all these games, and I'm just now finally getting to the January 1, 1979 OU-Nebraska game in the Orange Bowl. It was the 78 season, of course, and Oklahoma had lost on the Sims fumble. But let me just quickly bring up three or four things from this game that are stunning me. And I thought I knew most about that game, but I forgot that. This is Oklahoma now, after losing to Nebraska up in Lincoln, and Nebraska was just forlorn. You don't get to use that word very often, about having to play Oklahoma again. They go into the game how big an underdog do you think Nebraska would have been, or do you think they would have been an underdog to Oklahoma in that Orange Bowl?
I'd say they definitely were underdog. I'm going to go 7 points.
Jim, were they an underdog?
So Nebraska beat them, right?
Nebraska beat OU, yeah.
In Lincoln.
But OU was pretty much the better team, everybody kind of thought.
OU probably was a little slightly favored going into. Now, you got to remember this, Jim. OU lost that 78 regular season game. You know, Tom Osborne, that's the first win in the rivalry since 1971. You think Switzer was any good when he first took over?
Is that the nine fumble game?
They fumbled nine, something like that. Yeah, in that game.
Yeah.
You're talking about 78?
Yeah.
78 on Lincoln.
Yeah, I don't remember. There was a nine fumble game. But anyway, go ahead. Oklahoma?
My guess, from not knowing a daggone thing, my guess it would be between 3 and 7 would be my guess. It would be over
Oklahoma.
A field goal, probably not over a touchdown. Why, are you thinking a lot more than that, Dean? What are you thinking?
No, I've got the information here. I've been reading everything I could.
Okay, OU so what was
favored, Oklahoma was favored over Nebraska by 11 and a half points.
Wow.
Dick Enberg, Merlin Olsen on the call. MVPs were Billy Sims and Reggie Kinlaw, often overlooked at Oklahoma because of other
Oakland Raider. Reggie Kinlaw, Oakland Raider. He's a good player.
I remember the body language watching these guys with Nebraska running out. It just jumps off the screen at you. But did you hear what I mentioned there, though? First win for Nebraska in the regular season game, just a few weeks ahead of this bowl game. It was their first win since 1971, Al.
One of the great clips of watching. They're doing it live. Devaney and Osborne are there. Devaney's the AD then. And they're waiting to call from the Orange Bowl to tell them who they're going to play, and they tell them it's okay. The look on their faces, Jim, was unbelievable.
They thought they were done with them for the year, Al.
That's
a big old line, which obviously Vegas. Now, what was the final score of that game?
It was only a 7-point game, but Oklahoma dominated. I don't know how the thing ended up.
It was a backdoor cover because my man Nick Horvath, a good friend of mine, lost a ton of money on that game. He bet a lot, and he lost a ton because they scored like with about 10 seconds left in the game.
You're saying a backdoor cover for Nebraska because they only lost seven.
Oklahoma dominated him in that game.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is one of the great OU teams.
Yeah. Oklahoma fumbled 9 times. Lost 6 in the game.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I didn't think this was the game.
Because
maybe.
Yeah. Vegas is basically saying that's why they brought that game so high, because they felt like they were a lot better. If they didn't have all those fumbles, they win in Lincoln. That's what Vegas is
absolutely
saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why they had it that high.
Carson. Al, we've got the games mixed up, though, because in this particular game, Nebraska didn't fumble any. Oklahoma fumbled once and lost it. That was another game. It was another high-stakes game.
Well, the Kansas game, when you played, when you got beat in 75, I think you might have lost nine fumbles or fumbled nine times in that game.
Yeah.
So,
well, we hadn't talked, at least on my segment here, guys, we hadn't talked a lot about this game. I know we will before the game tomorrow, and I'm going to try to get down there and see you in person, guys. Any thoughts, questions, opinions?
I think the only way Nebraska keeps this game close is if OU turns it over and the Martinez kid gets some broken plays for big runs. He can't throw it at all, and I think if they're designed running plays, I think OU speed will be able to do it. But he can break big long runs when he's not supposed to be running.
Do you spy on him?
It's a great question.
Well, hey, Al, that's exactly what I was going to say. Put Benito. Remember what Benito did to Purdy in the Big 12 championship game? Purdy threw, I think it was three interceptions. And that's where Benito really jumped off the screen and became a, Pro Football Focus, ranked him so high, had him way ahead of everyone, and moved him up to a top 10 draft pick. So, I would think they would do that because, Jim, you know how it is. You get amped for a game, and you've got a guy like Martinez who's a threat for you. What do you not want to do? Well, you don't want to have your defensive ends or rush ends, linebackers. You don't want to have them overrun the quarterback where he can step up and go. But I'll tell you, the insurance that Oklahoma has in this game is that Perrion Winfrey, I believe, is playing like a man possessed, and Redmond too. Al, the most difficult rush against a quarterback. So if you're the quarterback, the rush you don't want to have is from the interior. You don't want those guys in your face. If you get them coming from the sides, you can maneuver around it.
That's the only thing that gives Tom Brady a hard time in his entire career. When you rush him in the middle, he has a hard time. No, look, this is a game. Fat Jack said this earlier, and I totally agree. If we're going to talk about national championship chances for OU, this is a game they should dominate. Nebraska's not very good. And here's the other thing, too, guys. They're a 22-point favorite. A lot of games you might think, well, you're a 22-point favorite, you might not be all fired up. There's so much craziness over this game. They have to be fired up, right?
You know, if they're not, I would think the crowd would play a factor.
Yeah, Al, you know what I'm saying?
That's a great point. No, that's it. I'm sure Lincoln Riley, as Bob Stoops, did a great job of familiarizing these people with history, right?
Yeah, they didn't do that much in Lincoln. I've heard from players, sound bites, and I've talked to a couple of my pals up there. Frost is just a different breed. But at the same time, Tom Osborne sort of was too, But Tom won just
Dean,
a little bit
more. Tell Jim how long his press conference was this week.
Gosh, it was
Scott
under
Frost.
10 minutes. Yeah.
What, does he just not take phone? Does he not phone calls? Does he not take questions?
Well, and then when your answers are 12 seconds, you better be rapid fire on your questions.
Does that make any sense? I got to tell you something, dude. If I was in trouble with my job, I'd be talking and trying to bring people in, and you know what I'm
saying? That's not him. That's not him.
Yeah, well, you know what?
And Jim, you remember, that's what Pat Jones did.
Jones was the best. When they were really good, he talked, and then when they were really bad, he talked.
Yeah.
And that helps you.
And he's still talking.
And he's still talking. You're right. He is still definitely talking. So, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know how he keeps his job, Dean. With the stuff off the field, and I don't know. It just doesn't seem like he has much of a chance.
Well,
the off the field
stuff is pretty much, he's pretty scot-free on that. I mean, that, you know, if he was winning games, it wouldn't even be an issue. But now it sort of becomes one. This is a game, Jim. I said it a couple of days ago. This is a game. They got selected. They've got several that would play at OU, but they haven't. I mean, we all saw that first game, I think, where they just kicked them. They just, they killed themselves by making stupid penalties and just a wrong step here or there. They are good enough, if things go right for them and Oklahoma turns it up, they are good enough to where we could have a game. But all things being equal, we wouldn't. I tell you, there's one guy that I feel pretty strongly about in this game that we might want to keep an eye on, and that's a lineman wearing number 64. His name is Wanye Morris, and I say that kind of jokingly because everybody's kind of waiting to see what he can do because he transferred in from Tennessee where he was like a second-team all-league guy. Came in a five-star player, looks the part, but he hadn't caught on to the schemes quickly enough. But I watched him in that game the other day, and granted, he's going against junior high guys, but he was throwing around like he was, you know, he was throwing those guys in front of him around like they were junior high guys. He played pretty well the other day. I think Wanye Morris, it's time for him to step up and play a much bigger role.
I agree. Hey, Dean, thanks.
Thank you, Dino. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Dean.
All right. Bye-bye.
I'll tell you, we are here at the Lucky Star. You got to get out here. They got two huge game rooms. I mean, people win a lot of money, and it's just a great, great place. So you need to come out here and just check it out just north of El Reno, the Lucky Star. So come on out and check it out and win some money and have some fun. It's time for an OGNE break. Check out the average monthly billing. Visit OGNE.com. Make your bill more manageable. 98.1 FM. We'll come back with one more segment of the Toto
Dominance
Hour.
Covering all four corners of Oklahoma, reaching over 2 million sports fans. From OKC to Tulsa, Elk City to Muskogee, Woodward to Long, Ardmore to Pawhuska, WWLS, the sports animal.
Fry was really good, Al.
Oh, so good. By the way, I got my lab results from my physical I took a couple weeks ago. You know what my cholesterol is?
What?
164.
That's good.
And I told them that, you know, on my vacation, all I did was eat steak every night. Dr. Kuypin, and goes, you might be one of these genetic guys. I can do whatever you want.
Yeah, you're a freak is what you are. It's called a freak. You're like not even a real human being. You and Joe Walsh, the two of y'all, are like two freaks. What'd you think of your Giants last night?
You got to win that game, beat the Washington football team. You got to go there and beat them.
You had them there.
Without
you had
Patrick
it right there.
Playing, yeah, just disgusting, Jim. Start no two.
I thought
Jones played well last night.
Yeah, he did. Looked like he played very well.
So
is Saquon Barkley ever going to be 100% again?
I don't know. He doesn't look like the same person. Which mean, and you and I talk. Unless the running back you draft in the top five or six is a great, great one, and I think he could have been a great one. Or would have been a great one. I don't know about it now. But yeah. He doesn't look the same.
Well, he looked great before he got hurt.
Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah.
So he's a talented kid. The Heineke kid can play, huh?
Yeah, he made plays. He was no doubt impressive. Interesting.
What do you got?
I got email for Barry Tremble there. About my neck and back and all that problems that I'm having.
What are you talking about? Barry Trammell sent you what? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, he got a brother that does some stuff, Jim.
Oh. What's the matter with
him? He's president of a mattress company.
Oh. There you go.
Don't you love that?
You do need to get a new mattress. How old's your mattress?
I think about 10 years.
Yeah, you need a new mattress.
Hey, the Wonder Pillow I got?
Yep.
Yeah.
No good?
No good.
Layla. Layla's been great. Get the Layla.
Layla? Okay, that's what you got?
Yep, Layla.
Now, how high is it?
It's perfectly made so that when you sleep on your side, your head will go no lower than it needs to, and it's just perfect across.
Where did Julie get it?
Online, Layla, L-A-Y-L-A, just like the song.
Like the song.
Yep. Layla. Okay. Got me on my knees, Layla. Yeah.
Didn't you like the fast version, but no, the slow version?
I kind of like the slow. You like the fast? You like the fast?
I like the fast. Fast one's a rocker.
Yeah, it
is. About 8 minutes long.
It is very long. Get the Layla, man. It's worked out really good. Really good.
You like it. Let me ask you. Yes. Did you have pain before in your shoulder? And
absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't find, just like you. Just like you, man. Couldn't find the right way to sleep, and I have to sleep on my side. And ever since I've had this pillow, I've had the pain has gone away in my neck.
Okay. I am going to go online tonight, the Layla pill.
Layla.
I already paid $100. We had the pillow. We had this girl, Lady Corley. Remember, Tony said she had some problems, and she wound up paying about $1,000 in pillows trying to get the right one.
That's too much.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. Paying $1,000 to get the right pillow. The crazy thing, Jim, it only bothers me for about 20 minutes after I get up. I can sleep like a log.
Yeah, well, I do not sleep like a log, so there you go.
Well, you still take that thing, don't you?
What thing? What are you talking about? What thing?
Don't you, aren't some kind of, not a machine. What did you do before?
Oh,
you
I have went CPAP. To go to... I do CPAP.
Yeah.
That helps me. Yeah, that helps me a lot, yeah.
Yeah, you know what helps me? Beer and wine.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's
and
a good,
Somonex.
That's good. Somonex, that's even better with the beer and wine. So.
A really, really, really good combination. And, what time you get up tomorrow?
About exactly 12 hours from right now.
Now, what time does it get light outside?
I don't know, man. I woke up early in Denver today, and it was dark out. That didn't make me very happy.
Well, you're going to get some good sleep. I'll see you down there tomorrow, man.
All right, man. See you guys.
Jim Traber. Here at a great place right here. The Lucky Star in Aconcho. They got Wednesdays, Lady Days, Men Days, Thursdays, and just got a lot of great jackpot. Friday, happy hour happening. So come on out. Win a lot of money at the Lucky Star. They always got a lot of stuff going. 98.1 FM. Did I suppose that we'd come back? And you're going to hear a conversation I had with Barry Switzer earlier in the week as we sat down, drank some wine, and ate some pizza. That's coming up, 98.1 FM, Dennis Potano.
Stay with us.
That's coming up, 98.1 FM, Dennis Potano.
Stay with us.
What was your question, Tony?
We're live and local until 8. It's Bud Light Game Time as Nebraska returns to Norman for the 50th anniversary of the Game of the Century to play Oklahoma tomorrow at 11. But first, at 6:30, it's the Morning Animals with unsportsmanlike conduct from the Grand Casino Hotel and Resort. Then at 8, it's countdown to kickoff from historic Campus Corner in Norman. Inside the RV General Store Mobile Studios, driven by Eskridge Lexus of Oklahoma City, who invite you to see, hear, feel, and experience amazing. Jim Traber and Al Eschbach will preview the game right up to kickoff. Sponsored by Adams Family Real Estate, Mitchner Farron Jewelers, Amini's Galleria, the Car Crash Clinic of Dr. Martin Lopez, Automax Hyundai. All day game day coverage of Oklahoma versus Nebraska is on 98.1 FM WWLS, the Sports Animal.